Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Before I actually start my little eulogy, sermon, homily, whatever you want to call it, I want to say, you know, sometimes when we are writing a sermon, or certainly for me, the direction you think you're going in, God sometimes says, no, you're going to go in another direction. So as I started writing this, you'll see there's a sort of change of direction, and it's because I believe that God was speaking to me, and I had to be obedient to it. So you may be thinking, first of all, oh no, not the feeding of the 5,000 again. Because actually it's not the reading for today. It's further on in the gospel, but I felt God saying he wanted this one, so you've got it again. Such a well-known and well-loved passage. And you know, it's only in John's gospel that we hear about that poor little lad who had his precious lunchbox nicked by the disciples. I wonder how he felt. You know, most kids would have started crying and kicked up quite a fuss, wouldn't they? But bless him, that anonymous little boy, for his total trust. We may sometimes feel a little bit like that little boy with our very little to offer. But when we hand our crumbs to God, to Jesus, he can multiply our gifts in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. Whilst this is undoubtedly the central theme in the gospel today, when we read the passage, often, as I said earlier, God will draw us to a maybe unseemingly insignificant word or phrase. And probably like you, I've been reading this passage for decades, many decades. And this is why this morning I feel we're now going to take a different track. Because actually there were two phrases in this gospel today that really touched me. And I wonder whether you could even start to imagine what they would be. Well, the first one is, Andrew spoke up. It's a strange sentence when you think about it. Andrew, he actually spoke up. He didn't say he said, he spoke up. And I got the feeling from this that maybe he was a fairly quiet man, a man of few words, but clearly a man of profound insight, a caring and thoughtful man. There are very few passages in the New Testament which actually mention Andrew in words or actions. I found four. You may find more, but I only found four. In John chapter 12, we hear it was Andrew and Philip who passed on the message that some Greeks wanted to see Jesus. So here we see a gentle form of evangelism when he says, come. And in John 1:41, we read that the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we've found the Messiah. And he brought his brother to Jesus. And of course, we later learn that it was Simon, renamed Peter, and on him Jesus built his church. So again, a gentle form of evangelism, a come and see. The third time mention is in Mark chapter 13 and verse 4, when he approaches Jesus privately and asks him, what about the age to come? He wants to know, but he doesn't really want his peers to hear that he's questioning and wanting to know more. And then today's one, possibly Andrew, being a simple fisherman, felt inadequate against some of his more vociferous disciples, especially his brother Simon Peter. But I find this thought really encouraging, that our few simple words and actions change lives. And you know, if I'm really honest, I often have felt over the years very inadequate against many clergy. They're so knowledgeable and I feel I'm not. And so I can really identify with dear Andrew and how he went quietly and wanted to know more by himself. So for me, these two forms of evangelism, a come and see method. So that was the first one that jumped out at me with Andrew. Andrew spoke up. And I wonder what you might think my second phrase is for today. I wonder. Even if I was to say, put your hand up, I don't think you'd get it. Well, you might. It was right at the end when Jesus said, let nothing be wasted. And this one really challenged me personally. Let nothing be wasted. I know I'm guilty of many times of forms of wasting. Wasting a moment to speak out when I think I ought to say something, and then embarrassment takes over and I think, oh no, keep quiet, June, shut up, keep your mouth shut. Wasting God-given talents under the guise of inadequacy. Wasting time and money on things that are not really important and I don't really need. Wasting food sometimes. You know, you buy things you don't need and you look at the date and it's gone out of date. Do you throw it? Do you bin it? Do you cook it? Do you eat it? You tell me. Wasting resources. Do we always put the lights out? All silly little things. So many different ways. And of course, we are now living in an age when we are facing very serious consequences over world climate change and global warming. And these words to the world, I think, are more relevant now than at any time in history. Let nothing be wasted. It is believed that our world produces enough food to feed everyone. Yet well over 500 million people are suffering from undernourishment. And set against this, one third of the food produced is actually binned. In fact, I read today an article, they reckon 70% is actually binned. And that is appalling when there are people that are starving. As I thought and prayed about this sermon, I found out that the Church of England are actually encouraging all parishes to hold a climate Sunday, ideally before the beginning of September. Well, maybe this is our climate Sunday now happening. Sorry, Derwin, I didn't clear this with you or with Rosemary. In February of this year, they actually appointed the Bishop of Norwich, Graham Usher, as lead bishop for the environment. Bishop Graham has been giving a willow tree to all his confirmation candidates, and I thought, what a lovely idea. I also found that he was instrumental in starting the Quiet Garden movement, which I actually joined 21 years ago, and I didn't know that it was him that started it. So making the announcement recently, our Archbishop, Justin Welby, said, "The crisis of climate change and biodiversity loss are the most grave and existential things that we face. We know that the poor and most vulnerable are bearing the greatest burden. Now is the time for bold, collaborative action." I had no idea when I began this sermon that God would lead me to find out that churches of all denominations are already taking this very seriously and thinking about the little crumbs that they can offer to God so that in his hands he will feed and look after the millions in his flock. So to finish this little talk this morning, I really do thank that little boy in our Bible story for taking me on an unexpected personal journey and a challenge, and for the reassuring news that the leaders of our church worldwide are playing a very active part in climate change and seeking ways to make a difference. So as Andrew spoke up and God said, "Let nothing be wasted," we have to perhaps think how that applies to each one of us. Put your own name there. And for me, it is a big challenge that I waste nothing. In fact, last evening I went through my cupboards, all my food, all the vegetables and things, and I made a great big casserole of all the leftovers rather than bin them. So I played my part last night. In any case, we just ask God's blessing as we all go on this journey together. Amen.